Hi, I'm Jervis Lewis, and this is a video for the Pixelito Media. Hi, Pixelito. I hope I've pronounced this correctly. They had a question about this animation that I've uploaded recently, where a Genesis 2 character is walking down the street. You can see the full version on my channel. And the question was, how do you merge animations together, perhaps the animation with a scene, and how did you do the camera dolly? And I'm going to create something very similar in this video now. So let's hop right into DAZ Studio 4.9. The exact version that I'm using is 4.9.3.166, and I'm recording this video in May 2017. I've started with a scene here. This is a Genesis 2 character. The character is Claire. Let me see if I can find her. She came as part of the Bell Pro bundle, I believe. And she is wearing the Day at the Mall outfit. This is it, in case you're wondering. And she's also got chase hair, the short hair here. Okay, so this scene is going to be our starting point for the walking animation. You can get all fancy with walking around corners and all that, but I'm going to just have her walk into a straight line. And the way to do that, of course, is using AniBlocks. So in case you don't have your Animate and your timeline open, just double click on one of them and then they spring open. If these tabs don't show up anywhere in your interface, you just head over to Window, Panes, and then there you go, you have the timeline and you also have Animate 2 up here. There we go, we're interested in the Animate tab for now, and I'm going to use a couple of animation blocks from Scar Motion. And in the bottom left corner here, you've got this drop down menu, and if you click on that, that's a little bit like the content library, but only for AniBlocks. So anything that's in your DAZ Studio library that is in the folder called AniBlocks will show up here. So I've got some from Animate, some from an older Animate Plus version here, and they all work still more or less with the current generation of Genesis, or with Genesis 2. Some work better than others, so these don't seem to work at all, which is why we're not going to use them. So we're going to use the ones from Scar Motion here. Let's open this up. So we have a couple of AniBlocks where if you hover over them, the animation is getting previewed here. Let me just zoom out a little bit so we can see the full effect and shift her over to the right a bit. I've got something that lets her walk in heels. And I've also got something with breast and ass bounce, I guess. Still a heels walk, and then this one, I guess, lets her walk with flat shoes. And that's the one we're going to use. So in order to use one AniBlock, you just grab it and drag it into the timeline somewhere here. You can then move it around in the timeline. So obviously we want to have her start here. And now I can play my animation, which is only, you know, 24 frames or whatever the frame rate is. I'll check that in a second. But she's kind of, you know, jumping back to the end, so we don't really want that. Let's extend our animation to something, well, maybe 10 seconds. And then we click on the AniBlock once, and that brings up these two handles there, the black and white thing here, like a little arrow. And if I drag this to the right, then this AniBlock gets extended to the very end here. Maybe I'll let it up to here, and then I'll adjust my animation duration accordingly with the end of animation slider here. Now these little black indications here, that means this is where the AniBlock gets looped. And this means now that in an ideal world, she will just keep walking and walking and walking. She's walking so much that she's kind of walking out of frame, but that's cool. We're going to trust she just keeps walking, and we're going to follow her with the camera in a moment. That's that. I guess I'm going to save that scene. I just created a folder on my desktop and created that scene earlier, so I'm just going to save over that. And now we can we could start rendering this. We can play with the camera already, but the background plays a vital role in here, so I'm gonna merge this scene with just the animation into a background scene. And for that, we're going to use a scene by Stonemason. I'm going to start by creating a brand new scene for that. You don't have to do it, but I prefer to do it. And into it, we'll start loading that urban sprawl scene. So I believe on this machine I've got a couple installed. In case you don't know where they are, you can just go to all products up here in the smart content folder and then search for something like urban. Oops. There we go, yes. So I've got Urban Warrior and Urban Edgy outfit here, and I've also got the Urban Sprawl 3 and 2. I've not actually explored Urban Sprawl 3, so I'm going to stick with Urban Sprawl 2 here, because it has only 3D light shaders, and the Genesis 2 character only comes with 3D light shaders, so that's the spirit. So the scene is split into four parts: northeast, northwest, southeast, and southwest. If we only wanted to load a part of the city, or we have this one here, Urban Sprawl 2, which is the whole thing. So I guess we'll just load the whole thing and see what happens. Takes a moment for DAS Studio to do that. And there we go. So this is our city scene. Now let's see where we would like her to walk. Somewhere interesting, perhaps. Well, I guess we can try and make her walk down this middle path here. We'll see how that works. So in order to get our character into the scene, I'll head over to File, Merge, and then I'll just go and open the Claire scene, and that'll just be merged into this scene. If you had any cameras and lights, they will also be automatically merged in. Luckily, we didn't have that. That could potentially become a little bit confusing. So the first thing I want to do here in my scene is I'd like to clean this up a little bit. So let me create a new null, or a new group, more like it. And I'm going to call that City. And into this group, I'm going to select all these city blocks, including the Sky Dome, and I'm going to drag them down here. And the advantage now is that I can just close this down, and I've got the city and the character. Now, if we play our animation, she's walking that way, so that's kind of cool, but we want her to walk down this middle path here. So the easiest way to do that then is to leave the character where she is and just click on the city and go to the parameters tab and see if we can't just rotate the whole scene. So right now I'm gonna head over to rotation, and this is the Y axis that I'd like to rotate it in, and I would like to perhaps frame it like so. And now with the Y rotation, rotating, well, it's the wrong way around. I'm going to rotate the whole scene so that she's lined up with the middle strip. So let's say that's about 90 degrees here. And what we also need to do is we need to bring this forward a little bit so that she can start at the somewhere back here. And that, I guess, is the blue axis, so that's the Z translation. No, that's, again, that's the wrong way. And so let's just slide that to somewhere here. We'll make a start here. Yeah, perhaps this is cool. I like to round numbers up, so 3300. Makes it easier to reproduce things later. So that's that. If we play the animation now, we'll have Claire walk down the road. Oh, so I guess we also need to do something about the height if we were to show her feet. Yeah, so we can either move the character up, or we can tweak the city again. So I think I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna use the Y translate here and just bring the whole scene down a little bit. When you make these adjustments, make sure you're on the first frame of the animation. So that should do the trick. The city scene has, I believe, got a slight slant to it. So if we were to keep going with that, then we would notice that she basically walks on the grid, but the city is kind of going down, slopes down. So we could, of course, address that as well. But I think because this is a fairly quick demo, I'm just going to make sure that the first few steps look okay. And then I'm just going to make sure I'll zoom into her a little bit so that we don't see her feet on the floor. All animation trick. So there we go, that should be good. And then there's one other thing. If we just make her walk like that, she will inevitably hit something like a lamppost, I guess, somewhere, if we actually go that far. Which I believe we may. No, we do not. Well, that's good. That's good. So 10 seconds or 9.5 seconds, she was not going to walk into a pole. However, I think we should move the whole scene further to the left a little bit so that she kind of walks on the left-hand side here. Or right-hand side, depending on what you're looking at. So let's have a look at the city again. And that is the X translate axis. Let's just move everything to about here. In fact, could even make this go back a little bit so that she walks past this lamppost. How's that? Yeah, let's do that. Starts here. Perfect. Now that we've done that, of course, we need to adjust the height again, I guess. Oops. Yes, I thought so. Oh, are we okay? Oh, there we go. Okay, so I can actually see that this is also a high heel walk. You can tell by the way that she never puts her feet flat on the ground. Can you see that here? The feet are always in this awkward high heel position, but it's not an issue because we can adjust this inside the Annie block. So let's click into here. It's a little bit awkward to get to. You basically have to click inside an Annie block and then click out of it again so that this thing turns green again. And then we can click on this little high heel icon, and that's the foot offset. And in our case, we're going the negative way, no, the positive way, yeah, the negative way, by about 15%, I guess. Perhaps 10 is enough. We'll try 15 and let's see what that looks like. It's still a little bit awkward. Yeah, I guess I should have given her high heel shoes for a high heel walk. I thought this was a walk that doesn't have high heels. So it looks a little bit weird there with her toes because they keep pointing upwards. But it's fine. You know, if you give her high heels, then, you know, this is going to look fine. And if the high heels don't touch the ground as you like, then this is this option here that you can use the foot offset in the animate timeline. Righty, let's save our scene just in case, and we'll call this just animation. And this is going to take a little bit longer to save. And now it's time to set up the camera. Right now we don't have a camera. So our camera wants to follow her along, and I think I'm going to start Well, first of all, by having a look at the render settings, and I'm already on 3D Lite here. Obviously, feel free to use iRay if your shaders support it. And head over to General, and let's have a look at the pixel size. So currently, this is set up for 1920 by 1080. That's good, even though it'll take a while to render. So let's see if we can find something like just standard HD 1280 by 720. That should kind of do the trick for now. And once that is set up, the aspect ratio is the same. You can just, for the final render, set this to as high a capacity as you want. Maybe, you know, quad HD or ultra HD, if your system supports it, if you have the time to render it. And to see what is actually being rendered here, this is not quite 16 by 9, head over to these few little lines here and switch on the aspect frame. And then we can frame up our scene properly. So I think I'll go for something like this for the beginning. And then I'll let the camera zoom in closer to her. So I'll get a little bit of negative space here with her. Just a little bit. I think this is going to be a nice start. So if we start playing this back now, she'll just walk out of the frame. And we don't really want that. We want to follow her with the camera. So first of all, what we need to do is we need to create a camera so that we can actually manipulate it during the animation. And the easiest thing to do that is by heading over to Create and going over to New Camera, the first item here. And because I've already set up my viewport the way I'd like the camera to frame it, I can use the Apply Active Viewport Transforms, and therefore the camera will now have the exact same framing as I've got it here. So accept that, and let's look through the camera. So the perspective view is kind of like a director's camera. You can move it around, much like the front, left, right, back, top, and bottom views. But the thing that you want to use for an animation, if you want to manipulate the camera, is in fact your own camera. So let's do that. And let's keep a close eye on the properties panel. So I'm on my camera now. My camera, with it being selected, it is also selected in the parameters tab here. And I'm interested in the translation. Our character is walking into this direction here, and that is the blue axis, and the blue axis is the Z translate. So as she walks towards the camera, we can move the camera back like so. Now, the camera doesn't really acknowledge anything that we do here in the animate timeline. So what we want to do is head over to the DAS Studio timeline. And every time we move something here, it will set a keyframe automatically. Oops. We just set that camera back and switch that over to here. And the first keyframe is already set, which is correct. Should this not be the case, or you want to add additional keyframes, then head over to the little key icon with the plus, and it tells you it create a keyframe at the current frame. So every time you see a black little triangle here, it has a keyframe there. So we'll just follow Claire along a little bit. We can probably just go to the very end of the animation and then just see if we find something there. Let's do that. Wrong direction. So I'm on the last frame of the animation and I'm just sliding over to the Z translate. So there we go. So maybe towards the end, I'd like the camera to be somewhat here and for her to walk past the camera. And perhaps, you know, turn it around a little bit as well. Maybe that's too much. Yeah, just so that we see both sides of the city scene here. In fact, on my last frame, I would like Claire to be already out of shot. So perhaps I'm gonna move it to about here. There we go. Get that building in. Now, I don't really know how this is going to look interpolated over 288 frames. So let's have a look what happens if we slide this back. You can see our camera moving. Yeah, so we need a bit of a correction there. But that's no problem. Let's start at the beginning. So we've got the beginning and the end of the camera. And now we're just going to add additional keyframes with additional framing for other things. You can spin the camera around the character if you like. Totally up to you. So perhaps here at frame 30, I would like to be a little bit closer on her already. So roughly frame 30, doesn't have to be absolutely accurate. So I'll zoom in a little bit and move her up a bit. Yeah, that's kind of good. That's perfect. She's walking straight into the camera. That's great. I'll just move this over a little bit because we've seen the trash can here. And really, I'd like to be a little bit closer on her. So I'll do that. And we'll keep walking, so we don't want to cut off her head, so let's move her down a little bit. Perhaps go a bit closer because obviously, you know, she's our main character here. Dude, I said down further. There we go, perfect. That's kind of cool, but I'm not seeing her face. So just move it up or down a little bit. And this is where she's already leaving our camera frame. So perhaps I want to frame more of that house in here. Let's see what it looks like when we play this back. On the whole, okay. I like the beginning, I like the end. But what I don't like is this bit here, where the camera seemingly kind of jumps too fast from this keyframe over to the middle here. And then it gradually kind of corrects itself. So I guess that is this keyframe here. Park the playhead over it, and then we're going to just move the whole framing over to the right a little bit. Oops. So something like that. That should be a bit better. Nice. So it's not perfect, but you know, I'll leave it up to you to play around with it. There's always with animations, you can do so much with it. One thing I would like to do is put some traffic here on the left and on the right so that that moves just on the sides. That'll look quite nice. But just to stay with the character here, I think I'd also like to make a blink. If we don't do that, then it just looks like a weird mannequin type thing. So I guess we blink about once every second or once every 2 seconds. So let's say once every 40 frames, roughly like that. So we'll leave her unblunk in the front and just head over to frame 40. And now we need to select the Genesis figure here. And let's find her eyes. They're usually under pose controls. And you can just look for eyes. There we go, eyes, head, there it is. Eyes closed, there we go. Closed and open. So right here at frame 40, notice that all the other keyframes have gone away because those were the camera keyframes, and we're now setting keyframes for the Genesis figure. So right here, we're gonna set a keyframe Well, that's already happened here. In case it hasn't happened, with eyes open, set a keyframe. Then move the playhead forward 2 frames. So this is 1 frame, 1 more frame. And now the eyes are closed. So we close our eyes quicker than we open them. Maybe she doesn't have to close them up to 100%. Maybe 90% is good enough. So that's 2 frames. That's already set a keyframe because we changed the value there. Now let's go forward 4 frames. 1, 2, 3, 4. And open the eyes again. So closing happens quickly and opening happens not so quick. Let's see what that looks like. Well, I guess we'll see it better in the animation. But we'll stick to this kind of scheme here. Set over to frame 80 and let it blink again. 80-ish, it doesn't have to be, you know, exact. Set a keyframe. Step forward 2 frames. Close the eyes. Step forward 4 frames. And open the eyes again. 80, then it's about 120 here. That's kind of nice. We get her as a close-up shot. So once again, set a keyframe, step forward 2 frames, close the eyes. Step forward 4 frames and open the eyes again. And then the next one is about 160. Now the reason why when I move my playhead 260 and the reason why I need to select a manual keyframe here is if I just closed her eyes, then her eyes would close from this keyframe here about 100 from frame 130 to about here. So she'd very slowly close her eyes. That's not what we want. We want her to keep the eyes open until here. Make sure the eyes are open here. Then within the next 2 frames, she's going to close them. And then over the next 4 frames, she's going to open them again. If you have a lot of this to do, you can even select, you can create your own AniBlock just for the eyes and then overlay that. That's another option. But since this is a short animation, it's not really an issue to do that manually. Because then the final thing that we need to look at is light, of course. So we haven't set any light here. Let's have a look what this scene looks like with the default lights in 3D Light. A bit dark and grim. I'm not sure if this particular set does come with lights, but let's cancel this and add our own lights. So in the city, if you open that city block, you see the sky dome. So that's the background here. But the sky dome has the problem that if we set lights from the outside, light isn't going to penetrate the sky dome. So we need to deselect this, so make it invisible. But of course, we do want a sky. And I'm going to use a product by Predatron, who's made very funky lights for 3D Light. The product's called Predatron's Essential Lights and Skies. And then you've got several options here with or without IDL. IDL takes a hell of a lot longer to render. And perhaps we'll use something like Cumulus Cloud without IDL. So as soon as we double click that, we get another sky dome here. That's kind of nice. So let's see if we just move this forward a little bit. Not sure what's going on with her head here. We'll fix that problem in a minute. Let's render this. Much better. Takes a little longer to render, but that's mainly because of the character's skin. And I think I'm happy with that result here. For the final touch, let's use a bit of traffic on the left and the right. And you can, of course, use your own car objects or your own truck objects or whatever you've got in your library. I'm going to use a couple that are included with this set. I'm going to park my playhead on the very first frame here. And I don't really know where they are, so I'm just going to look for them. Just going to type car. One of them is bound to be called car. And there we go. It's somewhere in city, in Northwest Road, there we go, that's the car. Okay, that's good to know. Let's switch over to the perspective view. And with the car selected, click this square icon here. And that means, ah, there it is, a blue, what is it, kind of a sedan type thing? Perfect. That's great. And we can see our figure here in the distance. So he's already on the correct side of the road. I guess all we need to do is make sure that he is a little bit closer in our frame. So in order to do that, I'm going to give myself some more room here. I'm going to close the Smart Content tab. And under Windows, I'm going to go to Viewports and I'll say Side by Side. So now I can see the perspective view over here and I could see my camera on this side. It's obviously not really with Iray, we're not into Iray. Texture shaded is fine. If your computer isn't responding, then you can set this to something less resource intense, for example, wireframe shaded. So that's a lot easier on your computer resources here. Make sure we select the first camera one here. And with this car selected, let's close down eyes here under translation. He will also go into the Z, whoop, not into the Z axis at all. It'll be the X axis. If I move this car a little bit further to the front, we can see that it starts coming into frame here. So perhaps I'd like the car to be out of vision when we start, like here, and that of course sets a keyframe already. And then as I move my timeline forward, here that road would be out of vision here, and I'm looking at this part of my scene here. I guess this is when I'd like him to be having left the frame already. So let's see if we park the camera here, select our car again, and see if ever we find him here. Yeah, there we go. We can see him just at the end there. Perhaps I'll have him change lanes as well. So by the time he reaches the end, I'd like him to be over here. And then like a nice participant in traffic, just stop here at the lights. Great, that's one car. Perhaps on the other side of the road, I'd like to have something like a truck. I know a truck's included here. So let's search for truck. Looks like we have two trucks here, with this one and that one. Well, let's have a look. I keep switching between any of these modes here and texture shaded just to get an impression of what that truck may look like. So with the truck selected in the perspective view, I can click this square button here and that will zoom in onto my truck. There we go, it's a white truck. That's kind of nice. And the other one, if I select that and again, oh, it's a blue truck. Well, I like them both. Perhaps I'll just use the truck number one first. And this now, he's on the same road as the blue car, so I need to move him over. To the other side of the road first. And then, of course, I need to turn him around because he needs to go the other way. And that's on the Y rotation. Just turn him by 180 degrees. There we go. So what I'm going to do now is position the truck at the end of the road and then start him driving down the road and hopefully leave our frame of vision before our character does. So there we go, one car's going to the front and one car is just overtaking her. I'd love to see this with a higher frame rate, so let's see if we can do this with with wireframe. Well, wireframe looks terrible. Perhaps hidden line. Yeah, lit wireframe. And I'll go back to the single workspace here. And one final thing I'd recommend if you're just about to render this animation and you're using more than one computer for it, head over back to the animate timeline and click somewhere down here when you're finished with the animation, and right click on this empty space and select bake to studio keyframes. If you do that, then her walk will literally be baked into the Dash Studio timeline and not rely on the AniBlocks anymore. The reason why this is important is because the AniBlocks kind of interpolate the walk every time. So if you were to bring this scene to a different computer so he can render half of the scene, you'd see that the background and the camera panning and the traffic is going to be rendered absolutely correctly, but the character may be at a different position. And that is because the keyframes are not exact with AniBlocks. They are kind of interpolated. So to make sure that doesn't happen, you can select Bake to Studio Keyframes. It'll give you a little warning so that the control will be taken over to the timeline, and it takes a moment for it to calculate all the steps. And from now on, you don't have to worry about the AniBlocks anymore. In fact, we can literally remove it here if we wanted to. Yet on our timeline, she's still walking down the road. That's what we wanted. And here's our full animation rendered out at 1080 by 720 in 30 frames a second. Not so bad for a quick example. There's a lot of things that we could improve. We could probably put more traffic into this, or we could increase her facial features a little bit, or make her body move more or whatnot. But you know, I'll leave that up to you. The principles are definitely the same. That was it. Thank you for watching. I hope this was helpful. If you would like to see anything else, please let me know in the comments, and don't forget to subscribe to my channels. Also, share this video with friends, family, and total strangers. I will see you next time. Bye bye.